This Before We Flush podcast was recorded live in our studios with actual human beings. Now, Before We Flush.
Welcome to the show. A two-show week this week. Ricky Martin has joined me. Ricky was on assignment, as they say. I understand you were going to a Braves game. Did you get to do that? And if so, how'd that turn out?
Yeah, it turned out exactly how you would have imagined. It was one of the 11 losses the Braves have had in the last 15 games. I did not get to see one. I wasn't fortunate enough to see one of the four victories.
I'm sorry about that.
I bet you are. but yeah, I was out of town. I had a little work to do in Alabama, and then I had more work to do up in North Carolina. So I split the trip up with a stop in Atlanta.
Whoa.
And my boss and I caught a Braves game with some people from Marathon.
Now, you were in North Carolina, is that correct?
Yes.
Did you see Bigfoot while you were up there?
No, I did not.
Well, Eric Walters is from North Carolina, and he was vacationing in Henderson County. Are you familiar with that place?
I was in Hendersonville.
Well, yeah. There you go, man. He insists that he saw a Sasquatch running through some tall grass Thursday morning. That's yesterday. He recorded it on video with his phone, sent it to the Asheville Citizens Times, told the paper it's either A, there is a Sasquatch, or somebody's playing a joke on him.
So, really?
That's right.
I haven't seen that headline. I need to check that out.
Well, I want to say, I just thought. And also, here in Kentucky, just to bring you up to date, you know, you're always wanting to be up to date. Sheriff's Office over in Franklin County, I think that's there next near Bowling Green. They posted a flyer on Facebook asking drug dealers to provide specifics, including information about their competition. And doggone it, a phone tip led to the arrest of an alleged dealer who had crack and powder cocaine, 4 pounds of marijuana, and several firearms. The flyer on their Facebook page offered drug dealers a free service to get rid of their competition, and it garnered even more attention when the rapper Ludacris posted about it on his Instagram account.
That's awesome. I didn't see that either, man. I've been out of the loop while I was in North Carolina.
You have. That shows.
That's great.
That's kind of cool. I would have thought that's wasting their time, and look, it paid off for them.
No, I mean, these guys have, we have competitors in our business, and if I could, you know, find out they were doing something illegal and throw them to the wolves, I definitely would.
I'm good. That's good to hear. And also, before we get to some good stuff, forgot what fraternity were you in?
Sigma Chi.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you hold this record. Not sure who. But your record is safe. Rally goers in Sturgis, South Dakota were trying to break the Guinness World Record for most people gathered in one place wearing only their underwear.
Right.
They were shooting for 2,300 people. That's the record. They were a little short. Only 182 showed up. So I don't know if that's your record or if you were part of that.
No, I don't wear underwear.
Oh, is that right? Well, that takes care of that. So, sorry about that.
I thought you were going to talk about the new beer mile record.
No, I don't know anything about that. See, that's
yeah, I ran a 4 minute 52 second beer mile. Saw that the other day. So that is my new goal.
I don't even know what that. What is a beer mile?
It's what it sounds like. You drink a beer and run a mile.
Oh well, that doesn't sound hard.
I think there's like certain rules of like how many beers you have to drink.
Oh, it's not just one beer and then go run. It's multiple beers.
Yeah, and it's during. During the run, you're
drinking that thing. Well, that sounds different.
Yeah. That's like my new life calling. From journalism, I went from a newspaper to oil. I think competitive beer running is probably my next big endeavor.
Well, the poor folks in South Dakota, you know, if you don't achieve a goal, the next best thing is to try to do something positive. They failed that, so they went for a bare butt ride through Bear Butte State Park.
That's got to be a joke.
No, that isn't. That is 100% true, and it is no relation to, and I swear this exists, if you don't know, that's Big Bone Lick State Park.
Yeah, I think you and I've talked about that before.
Yeah, that's one of, you know, you have goals. I want to go to Big Bone Lick State Park just to see it one day.
I'm sure you do.
I do. All right, we're going to talk about good stuff now. It is Racer Hoopalooza weekend tonight. Scott Edgar and Marcus Brown will be the guest speakers. Have a lot of great memories from them, Ricky. Scott was here He was the first coach I worked with. That was my first year as the radio play-by-play guy with basketball. Marcus Brown brought in shortly thereafter. I got to see every game, unless I was on a football assignment, I guess. I wouldn't really know that. But almost every game of Marcus Brown's career. And a really special night. This has turned into an incredible weekend, the third annual Hoopalooza. Wish you could be here.
Right. Yeah, me too. And I'm sure you do have a lot of great memories. And hopefully someone will tell you what those memories are so you can then reminisce, because I'm sure you have forgotten with your memory being so bad. But, I mean, this is the same guy that forgot we did a show Monday, Wednesday, Friday a couple of weeks ago.
Just one time.
Even though we've been doing that for four years now.
One time.
Yeah, you were out of line. No, this is cool, man. I wish I could be there. And what's really special, I think, for you, and, I know that Mark Gottfried was the guest of honor in the first year, but, you know, these are guys that, as you said, you know, that you got to watch play and coach that, really, Scott Edgar is a guy that I'm sure has a special place for you because of your history with the basketball program. That's where it started. And that's really cool for you. And obviously, when I was a kid, Marcus Brown, he was, to me, what a lot of young racer fans now, how they feel about Isaiah Cannon and Cameron Payne, your grandsons, for instance.
Yeah, sure.
The way they look up to Cameron and Isaiah was the way that I looked up to Marcus Brown. And, I wish that our dear friend Kyle Rogers was here, for this weekend, because I know that guy idolized Marcus Brown as much as anyone and was his favorite player. And, it would have been a really special thing, for Kyle to be a part of. And when I realized that Marcus was going to be speaking and was going to be one of the guests of honor, that Kyle was the first guy I thought of. But it's really cool. It's a great event. You know, if by any chance there's someone that listens to this program that's never been, you've got to go. It's a great night. You get a lot of laughs. You get to remember, things that you maybe read about or maybe things that you got to experience. And if you didn't, you get to hear the stories firsthand. It's great. The food's good. The company's good. It's a great weekend to showcase what's a great program.
Tomorrow, then they will have the golf event. And I think they have sold out. There's no spaces available for that. I have found if I'm not participating, the attendance is high. It's always low if they find out I have anything to do with it.
Sounds right.
It's a safety issue. So,
right.
But after that, it's fun. Now, I don't know anything about golf, but I do know something about watching and being on the radio. And I'm going to, on WNBS, and we are going to stream this starting at about 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. That is the alumni pickup game. I don't think it tips till 3, but I'm going to have a bunch of interviews. It's going to be more interviews than play-by-play, so there's not going to be a lot of play-by-play in it. But we tried it last year, just kind of threw it out there just to see what would happen, and really loved it. And people said, please do that again. So we're going to do it again. Just go over there and have a big time.
Right. And that's because other people, as you said, were doing the talking, and it wasn't you. That's
yes.
Probably
that's
why.
What made it great.
It was more well-received. Yeah, that's finally a Neil Bradley broadcast I'll listen to. I did listen last year, best I could. And it's really cool, man. This alumni game is something that the fans absolutely love. It's probably a lot of people's favorite event of the weekend. You get to see former legends. Guys that just had phenomenal careers at Murray State and play against each other. There's not a lot of defense. It's just a really fun atmosphere. You get the trash talking and the respect, and it's really fun. And that's something, too, that I know in its infancy in year one was sort of, I think, spearheaded really by Tony Easley. I think he sort of just kind of started asking around, finding people, figuring out who would want to play, and now it's turned into part of the weekend. And it's really cool. I hope that's something that continues, because I know the fans absolutely love that.
Well, I don't know who all will be there. Sometimes we never know who will show up, because even those who are at the Hoopalooza event the night before sometimes can't stay that late in the next day. But I know last year, I think it was I believe it was Isaiah Cannon against Aubrey Reese. And let me tell you, Aubrey Reese, I mean, he's in as good a shape as I've ever seen him in. Now, he claims, oh, my body aches. It's like, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. But he played that game. He went at it just like it was you're trying to get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, he took it serious, played shots. And maybe not as much defensively, but he didn't want to lose to Isaiah Cannon. Isaiah Cannon didn't want to lose to him. So I like that. It was at least competitive to that point. But more than anything else, it was a ton of fun. everybody played. I know every guy out there, anyone who's participated in those kind of events, and think, man, I'd like to play a bunch. Then you're out there 4 minutes, like, get me out of here. I want a break. And that's what 90% of that was.
I'm sure. And, you know, you get guys that are still playing professionally, guys like Isaiah who are out there in the best shape of their life. And you definitely want to get a breather. But, you know, that's to me, one of the best parts of that particular event as part of this weekend is, you know, you've got, I mean, literally two of the best players in Murray State history playing against one another. I mean, what could be better?
Yeah.
You know, than that? It's awesome.
Well, let's talk some other basketball as well, because some of the players who you might think could be there may not be. We had in the past week, TJ Sapp, Jonathan Farrell, and Jarvis Williams signed pro contracts. So throw in Cam Payne. Four of the five starters have signed pro deals. The only one who hasn't couldn't because he's still in school, and that is Jeffrey Moss. But, man, I'm really proud of him, and that speaks a lot about how good that team was last year.
Yeah, thank God Jeffrey Moss didn't sign a pro contract.
I know. Matt McMahon's saying that. I guarantee he's saying that.
Yeah, no doubt. But, yeah, I mean, that team was incredible. And you know, those guys, it'd be insane to think about what they could have accomplished had they all been four-year players at Murray State. I mean, TJ obviously came in, was eligible halfway through his junior year. Jonathan and Jarvis, I will say, you know, were two of the best two-year players that Murray State ever had, particularly in the front court. And Cameron obviously leaving after his sophomore season. So if all of those guys had entered in, you know, freshman year, same time, played for 4 years, you know, Lord knows what could have happened, what that team could have become. But they did a great job as a unit with Jeffrey Moss and with some of the other pieces, putting things together through the middle of last season. And by that, I mean Cameron's freshman year, and really answered the bell and faced some adversity at the beginning of last season and you know, fixed that, got themselves right, took Murray State fans on a really special ride. And now they're being rewarded professionally for what they were able to do. A lot of skill, a lot of talent between those guys, and they'll definitely be missed. And it does. It speaks to the talent level of the guys that were on that roster a year ago and why they were able to go undefeated in OVC play.
Well, hopefully we'll see some of those guys tonight and or tomorrow. That would be a blast. Someone I know we'll see tonight, tomorrow, is Matt McMahon, the current head coach. And his team, I thought, gave a great account of themselves. They lost that first game, rookie. We talked about that. Since then, though, they won back-to-back games, did some really good things. And as a team, I think they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. They did a lot of team-building things, took a lot of time experiencing parts of Montreal and Ottawa together, and it turned into, I think, a fantastic trip. Everything they wanted out of it, I believe they got.
Right, and you love the way that they responded to losing that first game, and, you know, we sort of expected that. You know, there's a little rust. They practiced 10 times together in their life, you know, in terms of an organized team practice. I know they play pickup and stuff like that, but, you know, that was a really big test for them in terms of their first competitive game together as a unit, and they gave a great account of themselves, as you said, bouncing back from that. They had a blast. You follow the guys on Twitter and see their reactions to that trip. You really feel like this team grew a lot, really grew together. And that is the most important part of this trip, is these guys getting their chemistry, coming together as a team, because that's really what's going to hold them together in January and February when you really hit the dog days of conference play. And so I was really excited to see the reaction from the players and the coaches. And, you know, I think the guy who probably surprised me the most, or maybe not surprised the most, but I thought someone who really did a good job and seems to have improved an awful lot is Kedrick Flomo. He was a big surprise for me in terms of looking at the box scores after the game. Really impressed with what he was able to do.
Yeah, he just, I don't really know what it was, just never got his confidence going last year as far as a shooter, and even in the first game didn't shoot the ball well at all, but the next two games really did very well. And also Bryce Jones, who most believe he'll be the guy who replaces Cam Payne at the starting point guard spot, led the team in scoring two of the three games. It wasn't a turnover fest, and all in all, I think about as well as he could have possibly played, that's the kind of performance he turned in the entire trip.
Right, and you're exactly right. I mean, you know, a guy learning a new system at a new level of basketball, to go out and lead you in scoring is pretty impressive, and I think he's going to have to do that. I don't know if he's going to have to be the leading scorer every night, but he's certainly going to help. Going to have to help take some of the pressure off the offense at times. And he can score in a variety of ways. That's one of the things that his versatility is going to make him a really important part of what they do, and he's going to be able to open up some things. I think for guys like Jeffrey Moss and Justin Seymour to knock down some shots. We haven't seen a necessarily fully healthy DeMarcus Croker. I expect him to continue to get better. Wayne Langston was really good early in the trip, struggled a little bit from the field late, but all in all, I think it was a beneficial trip for these guys, and certainly gets you a little bit more excited for the basketball season now, as opposed to having to wait until October and getting some of those secret games and things like that.
Yeah. Well, pretty much after this weekend, we'll put basketball to bed for a while, unless there's usually some sort of bad news or a recruit signing. We're not going to have much in the new schedule. But football is about to take center stage. They'll practice again today. Tomorrow, it is the first scrimmage of fall season. I can't wait to see Mark Dodson and hopefully get to see a few carries or runs out of him after making a catch. I am telling you what, I am really pumped to watch Mitch Stewart's Racers take the field in a scrimmage for the first time on Saturday. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, well, and a lot of that is because of the style they play. It's so exciting. I mean, it's up and down, and it's so fast-paced. I think that's one of the things that really makes it an exciting brand of football. But there is a lot of optimism, and it's funny, for a team that wasn't picked to finish that well, there's a whole lot of – it seems like this team has a lot of momentum. And a lot of people really expect them to overachieve in terms of what the rest of the league foresees for them. But I think a lot of people, myself included, think this is a top four or five team in the OVC that could win a couple of big games and get themselves in contention for an OVC championship. They're going to have some leadership at the quarterback position, a veteran presence. They've got some weapons, obviously Pokey Harris, all the national honors that he's been awarded over the last couple of weeks, the preseason awards. And I think that this is going to be a team that probably the defense, had it been better last year, they would have gotten a little bit more recognition in the preseason this year. I don't expect that defensive unit to be as bad. And I think this team is primed for, maybe an out-of-nowhere type season from those just around the league, maybe not expecting it from them.
Well, I sure hope so. I can't wait to see them. Part of a really busy weekend with all that coming up Saturday, and then the Hoopalooza this weekend. It at least lets me, for a few moments, put the St. Louis Cardinals season, they have the best record in baseball. I'm not sure if you knew that. But, yeah, they do. And I didn't realize how good it was. They can go 27-27 from here on. They're still going to win 96 games. That's how good they're doing. But I'm going to put that on the back burner for a couple of days.
That'd be great. I would appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to continually hear about how good they are.
Right, yeah, I'm pretty sure that you'll never let me forget that, and it's painful, man. I'm happy for you, but I wish I knew what it felt like to be rooting for a winning baseball team, or even just a winning baseball organization.
Well, I do too. As I told, I'm not. I actually like the Braves. I really do. I don't like seeing them struggling like this. That's not good. I mean, when we play them, I want to beat them. But otherwise, I like the Braves just fine. Nothing against them.
Right. Yeah. Same here. Until I met you, I really always thought the Cardinals were kind of my second team. With the Braves weren't in it, I always kind of pulled for the Cardinals. But then I met you, and now I can't stand them.
Well, good. I'm proud of that. Anything I could do to make more haters.
Like when before any postseason game, I'll text everyone or tweet every Cardinal fan I know, "Hey, good luck." But I never include you in that.
I've never gotten that text.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I bet Dave Winder has. Maybe the tweet.
Whatever it is. But, you muted anyway, so I wouldn't see that. But anyway,
that's a good idea.
That's no problem. All right, did you get all moved in to your island home?
Yeah, I got everything moved in. And then I went out of town for a couple of days on a little short vacation to the beach and then to another beach. Oh. That's the one that's by my house.
Gotcha. And then, so you get home and get home and Ashley's got it all unpacked and set up, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I left for my business trip at like 4 a.m. Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
And I got home about 10 o'clock last night and everything. She had done everything in those 3 days, basically. I've got to like put the guest bed together.
Wow.
But that's about it. Everything else is pretty much done. She's a rock star.
You married a winner there.
I haven't married her yet.
Haven't married her yet, but you're going to.
Right.
Again,
I plan on it.
Any idea what she sees in you, but no doubt, this is awesome for you.
Right.
This is
it's a win-lose.
It's as good It's as good as you could possibly do. I'm so proud.
Absolutely.
So proud of you. Really am.
Thanks. I appreciate that. That means a lot. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, I mean,
the nicest thing you've ever said to me is that my fiance is way out of my league. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I really wish I could be there at the wedding. Half of me wants to be there. The half that wants to see you marry someone way beyond your, but then the other half of me's like, Ashley, come on. But anyway, right. You know, that's good.
I'm glad you're not going to be there because I think you're the one person that I would have to worry about being like, wait a second, are we sure we want to go through with this? You guys are all okay with this, everyone here. Maybe it's a good thing that you're going to be in Northern Illinois.
Yeah, it is. All right, Ricky, have a big weekend. Good talking with you, and we'll chat with you next week, all right?
Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend.
Okay.
So much sports just to talk about. We used to flush it mostly away. With the miracle of the internet, now you can listen to us talk all day. Before we flush podcast, the better way to waste your time. Subscribe to it on iTunes, it doesn't cost you a dime. Talking local high schools in Murray State, Neil and Ricky will set you straight. Before we flush podcast.